You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up.
You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, also at Locked On Brewers and Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers. Happy to have you along for the ride today. We're going to get into awards week and talk about what's going on around Major League Baseball. Well, more specifically, what's going on with the Brewers. Will Craig Counsell be the manager of the year tonight? That award announced. Will Christian Yelich be a back-to-back MVP in the National League? That award being announced Thursday evening. To help us with it analytically is Dr. Scott, and he will join us coming up in just a minute to break it down, to go through the stats and really, when you look at Christian Yelich's stats, and I went through them a little bit last week, it's really something. So Dr. Scott does a great job of this. We'll get into it with him and really run down Christian Yelich's stats. And there's not really an analytics category for a manager per se. I guess there are analytics out there. But, you know, the conversation around Craig Counsell really boils down to how much stock do you put in the September run that the Brewers made and the way Counsell managed during that time. And he was really good. He was fantastic. Is it enough to overtake, the competition and win the National League Manager of the Year? So we'll talk about that coming up. And I don't want to pause too much on it. It's a good interview with Dr. Scott, so we'll get to it next. So stay with us. You're Locked On Brewers. Peloton is offering a limited-time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com. Use promo code LOCKED to get started. Tuesday is upon us. If it's Tuesday, it means Dr. Scott's Brewers Sabermetrics genius joins us here on Locked On Brewers on this Tuesday. It's awards week! And it's very exciting, very exciting. All we can do is think about baseball and awards. Nobody's talking about football or the NBA. It's all about the baseball awards. The timing is impeccable. So, Dr. Scott, tonight, Manager of the Year. Thursday, MVP. Before we get to that, we need to solve your gambling addiction. Apparently, you've been doing some raffles online.
Yeah.
You put my name on some stuff, so whatever. But what's going on here?
All right. So here we go. We got two raffles going right now. One I announced the winner last night at 11:11, Katrina Grunzel. I'm sure I'm saying her name wrong, but I'll definitely tweet it to the right person. And then we have to draw a winner right now. And the 11:11 raffle winner, the prize was dictated basically by how many retweets we got, and they got up to the medium sized prize, which is the Zach Greinke 2011 Time Warner bobblehead. So you get a little Greinke throwback bobblehead.
Yeah.
And the winner is, could I get a drum roll, Ben? The winner is, click, T-Pile 02. So there's
not
no
his real name
to go with that.
Not his real name.
T-P-Y-L-E 02. Just won the 11-11 raffle and the Greinke bobblehead.
Nice.
So,
congratulations, T-Pile 07654.
I'll announce the next one tomorrow.
On Twitter.
So,
okay.
Yep, 3 o'clock.
Pay attention. Brew_maths on Twitter. Such where you go check it out for the raffle. Good stuff. All right.
Do that.
It's awards week, Dr. Scott. And again, Dr. Scott is a medical doctor, MD, who also is a Brewer Sabermetrics genius. It's what he does in his spare time.
That's right.
It's crazy. So anyway, brewmaths.com, also brew_maths at Twitter. Let's talk about the MVP. First, real brief before that, do they have analytics for managers?
Yeah, they do. But I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, the projection system stuff, where they look at run differential and they try to look at game states. There are 24 different game states, and they look at how the manager's decisions affected the outcomes. But again, it kind of gets a little nutty when you start breaking things down like that.
Yeah. No, this'll be interesting tonight to see what happens with Craig Counsell.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like in both these categories, I don't know where the national push is, or, you know, if there's a regional push that's going to get, you know, the Cardinals manager over the top. I don't think the Braves, you know, he already won and they didn't do anything different than last year.
Right.
They won their division. So I'm not seeing it, but you know, that's what Council's going up against. And look, I mean, the Brewers, I guess, technically speak, well, not even technically, they underachieved, right, for the first 5 months of the year. And then they just had a smash bang September.
Right.
And that, so he's done that. Craig Council's done that 3 years in a row, especially 2 years in a row. And so, you know, does he get credit for that? That'll be interesting.
That will be.
And Cardinals won the division, though. You know?
It's a tough thing, though, with the manager of the year. It's not like there's all that hype around it, you know, with the rookie of the year and the MVP. There's a lot of buildup, and you can kind of gauge the press response to the player and how much hype there is and base your projections on that. And with manager of the year, it seems like you forget about it, and then all of a sudden it's announced, you know. So I know that there's been discussion that all three of the managers are deserving, and they all have pretty good cases, but it really is going to come down to what you just mentioned. Are they going to take a look at, you know, that September streak at the end as being a byproduct of Council and his decision-making with the bullpen and, you know, all those types of things? Or are they going to kind of say, well, you know, it was too little too late?
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. And again, these things are voted on, you know, they were voted on 2 months ago.
Right.
A little anticlimactic. But anyway, they were voted on 2 months ago, and that's the deal. So it's not like there's a lot of room for perspective. And that brings me to this discussion, because, again, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight with Craig Counsell. But the MVP discussion is very interesting because, look, Christian Yelich goes down with 18 games to go. You figure that's it. You know, there's no chance for any conversation of MVP. You just kind of put it out of your mind a little bit. I think a lot of people did. A lot of Brewer fans, and I'm sure a lot of national people did. Then, after the season is done, you look at the stats, and whoa, Nelly, this guy finishes first in a bunch of stats. He finishes, you know, close to the top in all major categories, I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong here, but the point
is... Oh, no, we'll get to that.
Yeah, let's get to it. But, I mean, the point is, you can't make an argument against him. Look at the three people who are in this thing, okay? You've got yourself, Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger is widely recognized across all of the National League and, in fact, America as a dinkus. I've outlined this on the show several times. We all know Cody Bellinger is a big league dinkus.
And wasn't that his nickname on Players Weekend?
Well, it should have been. I don't know, and I'm 100% making this up.
Oh, no, I'm Googling it now, Ben, and it was dingus, not dinkus.
Okay, close.
So we were close.
No, I'm totally making this up, but, you know, I'm not making this up. Cody Bellinger is a dinkus and so shouldn't win the award. And then you've got Anthony Rendon, who, yes, was a World Series champion, but keep in mind, this was voted on the day after the regular season. Or I don't know when the window closed, but it was right thereafter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, again, you can make a great statistical argument and a great argument, which you'll make in a few seconds here, Dr. Scott, for Christian Yelich. But my thought is, did he have momentum? Was there momentum for anyone in this thing? And do sports writers or whoever votes on this really take a look at this and step back and go, oh, wait a minute. Statistically here, Yelich, you know, is I think you have to go with him if you're looking at stats. That's my take. I'm biased. But anyway, I've talked too long.
No, you
Scott,
haven't.
Go ahead.
In fact, I'm going to take the energy you just put out there and I'm going to run with it. I'm going to try a little something different here. I normally try to be analytic and objective when we do all these breakdowns. And today I'm going to be a Brewer fan, darn it. I'm just going to lay it out on the line because Yelly makes it so easy. And I want to talk about what he's great at. And I'm just going to go through, and forgive me for being so verbose, but there's a lot to get through when we're talking about how good Yelly is, especially when we consider his 2019 season, or 2018 for that matter.
Yeah.
And so I'll get through what I want to do initially is get through what he was number one in the National League in, the categories and statistics. And then after that, much more importantly, in fact, I want to get to the statistics that he wasn't number one in and explore that a little bit. So okay. Let's look at his overall season. He was number one in batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, adjusted OPS, WAR from a position player, offensive WAR, and then we can get into the crazier stuff, adjusted batting runs, adjusted batting wins, offensive win percentage, at-bats per home run, base running value. It just goes on and on and on. Now, a lot of people, too, before we jump away from this category, talk about how great Bellinger is in the field. And he is. He's a good fielder. But let's not forget Yelly isn't a slouch either. He's a Gold Glove winner. And his metrics kind of stacked up in 2019, in fact. His fielding percentage as a right fielder was .983, which ranked him number five in the National League. And he had seven assists from right field, which ranked him number five. And he was the only National League right fielder to turn two double plays from that position. So the guy has, some ability to play, and we see that. I mean, he's an athlete. Okay, now, more importantly, though, I want to talk about these statistics that he wasn't number one in. He got injured with 18 games to play in, and so you can kind of project out in your head. That's a, low enough number. Mm-hmm. Let's say he plays 15 of those, okay? We'll even be realistic here and not jack our stats. Okay, so he was number two in WAR for position players. Now, everybody likes to cite this when you're getting into arguments on Twitter or, you're talking to a Dodgers fan. They say that Dinkus had a 9.1 B WAR, and Yelly only had a 7 point whatever it was. Well, there's differences between the WARs and how they're calculated, and it should also be pointed out, and people should know this for arguing purposes, is that F WAR is exactly the same between the two players. They both have an FWAR of 7.8.
Now, FWAR is what?
The FanGraphs version of the WAR.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Okay. And so that kind of throws that piece out. Then you look at the RE24 or the run expectancy 24, basically metric. And he was number two in that. He was right behind Rendon. His Yelly's score was 63.87, and he was number two right there behind Rendon, and he had 64.57. It's a cumulative stat. Yelly had 18 games to go, and he surely would have eclipsed him. Home runs, he had 44 and was fourth. Okay, there were three guys ahead of him, and he was hitting home runs at a clip of 11.1 home per at bat. Let me rephrase that. You got it. So he led the league in that as well, at bats per home run. Every 11.1 at bats, he'd hit one out. Now, times on base, extra base hits, he finished 10th and 8th respectively in those categories. But he was only 9 off in extra base hits behind Alonso, and he was only 10 off for times on base behind Freddie Freeman. And so not only is he close enough to catch these guys if he would have just played a little bit longer, but then you throw in the fact that he had 93.7% stolen base percent success. The only guy who had more stolen bases than him had 100%, and it was Lo Castro who did that, but he only stole 17 bases. And so Yelly was arguably and pretty much statistically the best base runner in baseball. You can kind of back that up with the base running value stat. It's used in the WAR calculation. Yelly's base running value was 8.5. Belly's was 1.4. Rendon's was 0.4. And so not only would he have been number one in every single offensive category, not only does he play solid defense, but he's also an elite base runner. And so I don't know how you can look at all of this in its totality and say, well, Yelich missed the last 18 games. Even though he was clearly the most dominant player all year long, we're going to give it to someone else.
Yeah, I know. So there was, during the season, it seemed like there was momentum for Bellinger, right? He got off to the really hot start, had all the early buzz. He did tail off, though, offensively. And it's interesting with the whole the argument about the defensive and the total package, because you're talking about a component like base running and the fact that he was no slouch defensively. You know, he's about a break-even WAR player defensively, right? Or just a little hair to the negative. Is that right with Yelly?
Yeah, again, it depends on how you calculate the WAR, because there's different ways of doing it. But, he ended up being about neutral, you know, as a defender.
Yeah, but it's just interesting all the facets that he brings. I mean, his base running, you know, if you watch the Brewers on their telecast on Fox Sports Wisconsin, they do a great job highlighting how good of a base runner he is, particularly in a ball hit to the wall if he's at first. I mean, that guy's scoring, right? And it's really
every
something.
Time.
So, you know, that kind of a weapon and what he gives you and his stolen bases. I mean, he could have been a 50-30 guy. Maybe 50-40 if he'd gone crazy in the last 8 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy numbers, right? So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, again, and I've looked at all this too, kind of not in as much detail as you just went into, Dr. Scott, but I don't know how – you can't make an argument against him, a legitimate one, I don't think, right?
No, it's really tough. And I think, you know, if you kind of project him out, you got enough with Yelich where you can start to say, okay, how does he stack up like against Hall of Fame members? How does he stack up against all-time right fielders? And basically, Yelich is already halfway to the Hall. If you look at all these metrics that they use to kind of predict who's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, he's halfway there already. And if you look at the hitters or the similarity score between him and other major league players, the guys on the list are insane. Carl Yastrzemski, Dave Winfield, Matt Kemp, Carlos Beltran, you know, Nick Markakis, it's all guys who are known for their bats. And so he's in good company, and there's no reason to suspect that he would fall off. If you look at the direction of all of these numbers, he's getting better and better and better. In fact, this year he led every single slash category. And I know I've said that before, but I can't say it enough. It's crazy. You know, he had the best batting average, on base percentage, and slugging percentage. So the guy is dominant across the board.
And obviously OPS too. I mean, he was amazing. So,
All right. My MVP.
Well, if he doesn't get it, well, we'll have to figure out what to do. We just can't sit here. We can't be silent.
Something violent.
Definitely violence. I think that's the answer.
Right. It always is, right?
Thank you, Dr. Scott. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
We'll see what happens. Should be an interesting Thursday
MVP.
Tonight.
MVP. Yeah. MVP.
Okay. It's good for a while, but if you just start chanting it alone, it's weird. That's Dr. Scott. Thanks, Dr. Scott.
Bye. Thank you, Ben.
Find Dr. Scott at brewmaths.com. Also at brew_maths on Twitter. Great follow on Twitter. You've heard me say it before. If you're not following Dr. Scott and you're a Brewer fan, come on. Oh, come on. So go check him out on Twitter, and good stuff. We'll talk on tomorrow's show. Did not get to a mailbag show. Had some stuff come up on Friday of last week. So we will talk on tomorrow's show and address some of those questions and get into it a little bit more about some of the key questions here that you have about the Brewers here in this offseason. So that's coming up on tomorrow's show. Stay with us. It's going to be a good time. On tomorrow's program here on Locked On Brewers. So that's what's in store for you, and hopefully maybe we'll have a manager of the year in the National League to discuss tomorrow. We'll see. So check us out. Always on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, at Locked On Brewers, the two Twitter handles. Also Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers. Go ahead, rate and review the show. Give us a positive rating, please. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. Talk to you tomorrow when we deliver your daily Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.